6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
People say I ain't no good, and I'm crazy as a loon. Cause I shave my head in the morning, pick guitar in the afternoon. Just like old Chief and Charlie, I like to lay around in the shade. Well, I ain't got no money, but you better believe I got it made. Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing if I can't get it on my own. Just leave this bald-headed country boy alone.
What's up, folks? Thank y'all for tuning to the Josh Terry Podcast. This is the first episode we've ever done in Atlanta. Thank you to the guy sitting over next to me hooking this place up, Anthony. Thank you, buddy.
Welcome.
Anthony's on a team. He's family now, and he's actually hooking us up with some cool shit over here. He's got a new member that we're getting to hang out with. This is the first show that I've done with anybody that's, I guess, technically... Is it emo? Do you say emo? Is that even the
we can go with emo.
Genre?
Yeah, we can go with emo.
Yeah. Mr. Ryan from...
Yeah.
I almost fucked it up already.
Yeah.
Fire on flame.
Fame on fire.
See?
Fame on fire. You know what's funny, though? Like, we get all the time people come up to us and they're like, y'all look like a band. And it's always somewhere in the South. They pull up in the truck. They're like, we're outside of a Walmart.
Yeah.
And they're like, y'all look like a band. What do you do? And we're like, we're a band. And they goes, man, I knew it. He like tells his wife. He's like, I knew that. And then he's like, what's the name of y'all band? We'll tell him some bullshit sometimes. Like, we'll be like, oh, we're Metallica. And he's like, no fucking way. It's like, yeah, no way, dude. But we go, we're Fame on Fire. And they go, Flame on Fire? And I go, no, Fame on Fire. Like, Forged on Fire?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. Eventually they get it after the third correction. But yes. Fame on Fire. It's complicated.
Y'all look like a bunch of drummers, I bet.
A bunch of drummers?
A bunch of drummers from Nashville, right? A bunch of country drummers?
A bunch of country drummers,
This is one of our buddies. His name's Devin. Mm-hmm. What the fuck's Devin's last name? He looks like Bubble Boy.
Bubble Boy.
He looks like it. Anyway, he's...
Bubble Boy.
Dude, you'd have to see him.
Powder.
That's what it is. You ever seen the movie?
No.
So he's got, what is it, alopecia or whatever? Where like
he's got alopecia?
Yeah.
So
dude,
he is sickly.
Yeah. Well, he's an amazing drummer. Like, he comes from a different genre, but now he drums in country metal.
Oh.
Heavy metal, now he does country. Dude.
There's a few people like that.
He is fucking insane. But he used to have long hair. Now he's completely bald, tatted up, though. He's a fucking killer,
dude,
and he adds like that metal beat to almost everything. He's fucking sick.
Well,
you guys remind me of him.
Do you guys know Cody Ash?
Yeah, I know who that is. Cody Ash
used to like be in metalcore bands. Yeah. He was part of like our scene. He played in a band called Siler. Like, he's the homie, but now he plays drums for Jelly.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's how I know the fuck that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. So how'd y'all two get hooked up? Because you set the show up.
Well, through
this Casey, is fun.
So.
Okay.
No, go ahead. Tell them a story.
Psycho.
All right. All right. I was maybe a little intoxicated.
Not you.
you know, on an off day in Nashville.
Off day in Nashville,
day,
huh?
Day
There's
two
not a
if,
fucking
if
off
you,
day
if you follow
in
me.
Nashville.
So we went out and I challenged Brian a little bit for a whole night.
Yeah, I had a we were doing a writing trip in Nashville. Me and some of my writing buddies, and we just had a really great day of writing. And you know, in Nashville, the only point to going out and drinking in Nashville is to meet people.
Yeah,
and so that was that was the game plan for us. We're like, we're gonna go out in Nashville. We're gonna meet some people. We're gonna hang out, and we were meeting people. And this guy stumbles in. Casey's like, oh, this is my friend Anthony. And I was like, nice to meet you. He goes, you going to take a shot with me or what, pussy? I'm like,
I've had the same interaction.
To be fair, you guys came to the bar that I was at to meet me.
Well, yes. Casey's like, oh, you got to meet my friend. He's so great.
So that means it was Doc's.
No, it was someplace next to Doc's.
Did
she
you
had
say
gotten,
no?
Yeah, it wasn't Doc's. I couldn't tell you what it is because that's the only
place. I don't know where we were, but he's just like, top shelf tequila the whole night. I hate tequila.
First one he got me to drink with him was some top shelf shit.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm a trashy son of a bitch. Dude, what are we doing here?
Dude, get me the fucking the poorest whiskey. I'm good.
I don't know about that now. I'm doing Buffalo Trace.
What happened?
Shit like
yeah,
you
probably
got
Buffalo
the
Trace, too.
Well, that's my shit.
Well, I don't know what it was, but I mean, in the end, you're right. It all pretty much tastes the same and does the same thing. But not everybody will order those on their own.
You know
so
what?
I kind of like to do it to give a different experience.
To be fair, though, I think it almost made it a little bit easier. But he was just like, it was like, I can drink. And like, I wasn't supposed to get as drunk as I did because the next day we had a session. And I felt bad for this artist because every day we pull up to this artist session, we're just hungover as hell.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to show up to this session one day with this artist where we're just not belligerently hungover. It didn't happen.
That's so adult.
It happens.
Yeah, it met him that night. He's just like, drink with me. Don't be a pussy.
Adult.
Here's a shot.
You still got that drunk.
Still got that drunk. And you know
you
what?
We still made it to the
We
session.
Still made it. We still wrote a banger song. So
yeah.
That's all that matters.
You can't be mad about that.
Matters.
Cheers, yeah. That's
can't be mad at
that. That's Nashville right there.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of the nights I actually had Hussein come in and get me and just said, look, I don't think I can even drink anymore. You got to take me home. And I woke up on the floor of the kitchen. In the Airbnb.
Nothing's a stranger whenever I came back and you were asleep sitting straight up on the couch. Mm-hmm. And I said, don't touch him. Don't bother him. Don't wake him.
It's balance. He's got to work very hard so he can party very hard.
Well, to be honest, there actually is a balance. Like, so it's funny, the people that I meet like in Nashville or something else, you'd assume that's how I am all the time. But at home, I just work nonstop, dedicated, grow my stuff, talk to these guys about ideas, things like that.
You can tell you're a liar, though. I don't think any of us would fuck with you if you couldn't tell that you're a lot out there.
Yeah, exactly.
You can tell. You can tell somebody who's actually that all they do is fuck off. You can tell that's not you.
Yeah. You take a day to decompress.
They're usually
not
buying $500 shots of tequila for
everybody
at the bar.
Because they're fucking off all the time.
I just keep thinking about my energy bill.
Yeah, no shit. So how did you start off with all of this? Let's just snowball there.
All right. Well, when I was a kid, like any kid, I got into early Linkin Park, I would say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like that first album, Hybrid Theory. That like kind of did it for me, and I was really young when I was listening to that. So listening to that, I was like, oh, this is cool. I really like this music. And then growing up, I was like, I want to sing. I want to be a singer because I grew up in the era of like the Backstreet Boys and like NSYNC, those sort of boy bands. And so I was like, okay, I want to be a singer. And so I was like, how do I be a singer? I'm like 5 years old at the time. I was like, oh, I'm going to join choir. So long story short, worked my way up through choir all the way into high school, did all that. And then in high school, I was like, I got back into like the metal music and the scene music. I don't know if you guys remember the era of everybody wearing girl jeans and swooshy hair. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's coming back. Did you watch the
halftime
show?
It ain't coming
here. Did you watch the halftime show?
Could you imagine Josh in an outfit like that?
It ain't fucking
happening. Well, okay. To be fair, though, these days they have tails. We didn't have tails.
What's a tail?
What do you mean, what's a tail?
On what?
Like a furry.
What?
I truly have no idea what you're talking about.
Like,
you guys don't know what furries are?
I know what a furry is.
Furry? Yeah.
Yeah. So these days, like
the kids,
they got tails. Oh, yeah.
On their jeans?
I don't know the science behind it.
Science? They're not growing them, right? They're just putting
No. But I'm not sure if it goes inside of them or just like ties onto them.
They don't just get it from Hot Topic?
They might. Wait, this or they might get it from like Adam and Eve
totally
or something.
Different than I thought. Are you
my
talking about
kid
plugs
better not be getting
with...
a
well, it's a plug with a tail
from Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
How the fuck did we get on this?
Wait a minute.
Well, okay. Well, I was saying that
we're talking about fashion. Now we're talking about butt plugs all of a sudden.
All right. Okay. Hold on.
I look at my phone for 2 seconds. Okay. Hold on.
So what a part. What part of the plugs made you want to do music?
Right.
That's
well,
right.
Well, bass.
I'll get back on that. But I was saying that the kids today. Instead of like, you know, we had scene kids where we would just wear girl jeans as far yeah. as we really went. Nowadays, they have tails
yeah.
and they have ears and they call themselves furries.
Are okay. you jealous that they were willing to go
that
way
far?
Further down that track than you?
You
guys
know what?
With the gay jeans?
Think about it. If
dedication
I
was different.
The dedication is different these days. You know, I've been to a furry convention before, not by choice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who drug you there?
Well, we were in Vegas, and it just happened to be the hotel that we're staying at that night. And we go downstairs. We're going to go gamble. And we just see, like, you see one walk by, and you're like, what the fuck is that? And you, like, look where they're going, and you're like, oh, my God, there's a bunch of them
I'd have
here.
Followed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't
no
not.
No doubt. I would have
we followed.
I had to.
It smelled like lube and sweat. And
coconut oil.
It smells coconut like exactly oil. What you think. It
exactly what it's. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was yeah.
plastic.
It was really nice.
You don't even have to describe it.
Smell
it's exactly
the basis
what you
of
think
the band?
It would.
What
was that smell? The basis of
that's how we formed our name. No, right. I was a scene kid and I wanted to be in a band. I was like, oh, this is cool. So I started singing. I was in a local band, just doing the local circuit here and there, and it never really took off for any of us. Like my bandmates and I, we all grew up. In the same neighborhood pretty much. And so it didn't take off for any of us. It wasn't working. And you're like, I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to be a producer. I want to stay home and just work on music for other people. Cause whatever I'm doing for myself isn't working.
Yeah.
And so our drummer now, he was like, hey, I want to do a drum cover of a Katy Perry song. And we were like, I was like, okay, cool. My guitar player and our roommates at the time, he's like, yeah, let's get him in. Let's record the drums in our living room, which is what we did at the time. Recorded the drums in the living room. Then he's like, bro, you should put guitar on this. So my guitar player puts guitar on it, as a guitar player does. After he puts the guitar on it, they're like, yo, it sounds a little weird having like Katy Perry's voice on this because now it's like a full metal cover. And they're like, what if we got a singer? I was like, who are you guys going to get? They're like, Brian, you sing? I was like, no, I don't. And they're like, yeah, you do. And he's like, give it a try. I was like, no. So after a week of my guitar player begging me, I told him to go look for another singer. They never did. So they're like, he's like, dude, just do this. Like, stop being that guy about it. So I was like, okay, I'll do it. So I put my vocals on this. I mix the song. We shoot a video for it in a garage. And I give it back to my drummer. And he's just like, dope. He releases it under his name, which is Alex Roman. And it said, Alex Roman unconditionally cover Katy Perry. And 1 week later, we're getting calls and tweets from people. They're like, you guys are on iHeartRadio.
Oh, no
oh
shit.
My God. They're like, you guys are on iHeartRadio. I love your music. When are you coming to this city? And I'm like, I'm out with a girl at like a bar. I'm getting like fucked up. And my guitar player is bowling. He's got like no service. So he comes out. He runs out of the bowling alley like with all these missed calls from me and stuff like that. He thought somebody died. He's like, what the hell's happening? He calls me. He's like, what happened? What's going on? I was like, bro, we're being played on national radio. We go to the YouTube video. And at the time, it was a lot for us. It was 60,000 plays. First week on YouTube.
That's how many years ago was
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I was going to say, what year?
This was in 2013.
Yes, a shit done in a week.
That's a lot.
That's massive.
That's a lot in a week in 2013. Yeah. And so we were like, I was like, what the fuck is happening? Because I gave up on this dream, you know? Like, this is insane. I did this as a favor.
Yeah.
The band name is Alex Roman. It's a terrible band name. So we were like, the next morning we woke up, we went out to like our back patio, drinking coffee, smoking cigarettes. And I was like, to my guitar player, I was like, yo, I know we said we weren't going to do this, but we got to be a band. He's like, yeah, we do. I was like, what do you got? He's like, I got a band name. I was like, what is it? He's like, Fame on Fire. I said, you know what? Works perfectly for me.
He'd been holding on to that.
He was holding on. He said he didn't know it was going to be
a song.
He had it
in chamber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had it ready.
He's always thinking and scheming.
He had it ready to go.
But, you know, he said he wasn't sure if it was going to be a song name or a band name or whatever. But he was like, yeah, Fame on Fire. It works perfectly for this. He's like, we took a famous song. We kind of set it on fire. We gave it that rock. And, here we are. And I was like, you know what? I'm into that.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And so that we changed the name to Fame on Fire. And, you know, it started snowballing after that. And, you know, we've been doing this better half of a decade now. And so.
Yeah.
What did you play before that, though?
I was a guitar player.
Okay, you just...
Yeah, did. I mean, I sang, but I was a choir singer. It's very different than, like, screaming and being in people's faces. And the lead singer mentality is very real.
Yeah.
Like, everything that they say about lead singers is true, and it's weird to recognize it, but also live by it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I am a piece of shit, but I'm okay with it.
Hey, trust me. I get it.
Yeah.
90% of my friends are pieces of shit.
Oh, yeah.
I get it. It's you have to, though. You got to have
it. But we love them for that.
Yeah, you can say that.
depends on the day of the week.
it depends on which one, too. No, it's part of it. It's part of it. But also, too, you have to, whether it's you doing that, me doing this, or whatever, you got to walk into a room, and you got to have that. Otherwise, nobody's looking at you.
You know what? I agree with you.
You have to.
But also, I don't think we realize it. Yeah. And you're always like comparing yourselves to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, you know, that's the nature of the business that we're in, of being entertainers. Yeah. You're always comparing yourself to other people. But it's like, you're him. It's just your moment hasn't arrived just yet.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting there. Just all you got to do is stay consistent now.
Yeah. Well, see, what I take away from this, though, is interesting, because it's more in line with the way things work today, is... For whatever reason, you guys didn't think that your band had a future. Then you guys got together.
Mm-hmm.
And then online, people collectively voted for you, basically, through views, gave you guys the confidence. Your skill level didn't change. It was always there.
Yeah.
But it changed something in you where there's not a few corporate people deciding who's going to make it. Now it's the people, right?
Yeah, you get validated. Yeah.
Which is actually really cool if you think about it. It's a complete change in the way that
you can... But then
you
still have to play the game.
Oh, now you like get thrown into the game, because like it's the weirdest thing. Whenever I don't want it, it happens.
Yeah, like, well, that's how it's happening everywhere now, though, because of social media. So now you don't have to wait on a board member. You don't have to wait on Sony. You ain't got to wait on BMI. Like, even with us, like, you don't have to wait. Now people, because of views, because of downloads, because of what they're actually getting to share and everything, now they're saying, okay, this is what we actually like, instead of somebody being a kingmaker.
Mm-hmm.
Now people are making the kings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would they also say today, can take more the than king ever, down.
Talent has more power than possibly the money behind.
Talent gets more of a chance to shine now.
Yeah, if you – well, that's the thing. It's like what you just said exactly. It's like, if you have the talent and they put a little bit of money behind you, you're gone. Like, that's it. Like, if you just need some big wigs to bolster you up, and then, like, then you go.
Because that's the real goal. It's not just to have one. Like, because you're only going to get to a point. Like, you can have all the acknowledgement in the world on social media, but you still aren't going to be Jelly Roll. You're still not going to be Cody Johnson unless you get one of those big groups behind you.
I don't know. I mean, I would disagree with that.
You
can't build a career.
That's not true. Taylor Swift took a different route.
But she had big people behind her.
Taylor Swift's dad is very involved. Yeah.
Since she was 15.
I guess I took it from like a label standpoint.
She's had a label since she was 15.
Yeah, Taylor Swift is as...
So I just misunderstood.
Yeah.
And that's what they want you to think. That's what the industry wants you to think.
Well, you know, devil's advocate side from the outside looking at it. So I don't have the experience that you guys have in this. Like, the money's being offered at a time where you've already done the work, where they see that you could make them money.
Correct.
Yeah.
I still believe that if you held out, kept doing what you're doing, the power of the talent, if it grows on its own, and the viewership and the demographics, still gives you the power until you sign and make a deal with money, where they ultimately can throw money behind it, they put the gas on it, right, and maybe you make more.
You'll get a chance
to
make
own more control of yourself.
You have more leverage.
Okay, I can actually give you a little bit of insight on this, because we actually did that. As a band, we didn't sign our first record deal until 2017 or 2018. I think it was 2018. And, which is not that long ago, which is 7 years ago now. And when we signed this record deal, we were already pretty established as a band. You know, we already had just about 1 million monthly listeners on Spotify. You know, we were doing a lot. We were releasing a lot of music. And this label came along. They're like, hey, we're going to sign you. We're going to legitimize you in the industry, in the eyes of the industry. And being almost naive in a sense, you go, that's true. Because we didn't have really any good tour offers, because that's a really important thing, is getting packaged with a good tour. You're like, we need tours. We're not touring. All we're doing is creating online hype. So they make you all these promises. They're like, we're going to give you this, this, and this. And you go, okay, well, let's do that. Our split was shit. We took We took 15% and they got 85% of everything.
Holy shit. You signed a 360?
Not a 360, no.
Did you have an I would have
been hanging by a tree if we signed a 360. What was that?
Did you have an entertainment attorney look at it first?
We did, and he goes, "This is stupid."
And you did it anyway.
Funny enough, our attorney is also Katy Perry's attorney. So he's like, he's very legitimate.
You mean your first song?
Yeah. Isn't that funny? But he's amazing at what he does, and he goes, "This deal sucks."
So they sell the fact that your 15% of being with them is going to be more than.
But you got to realize how much they hype themselves up.
How many artists also fail too? So they
that's it. They work on a loss. They work on a loss. So they have to think
they're
that
like insurance actuaries. They just invest. It's the worst sort of.
They want you to stay in the
It's
negative.
The worst loan you could possibly get.
Yep.
And so our attorney looked at it. He goes, "This deal sucks." And we go, "Yeah, but it's a deal." And he's like, "I mean, like, look, I'm not going to tell you guys what to do. I'm just going to advise you what to do, but I wouldn't do this." And we go, "Well, what other option do we have? We're trying to legitimize ourselves. We're trying to get tours. We're trying to build our business." And he goes, "You know what? Okay, then that's on you." Our manager at the time wasn't very experienced at the time. And he's like, "You know what? Yeah, this makes sense for what you guys want to do, what your goals are." And so we're like, "Okay, cool." So we signed this deal and we started releasing music with them. And we got to keep our merchandise. It's not a 360, luckily. But this is where it gets really crazy. You're going to hate this. You're going to absolutely hate the way the money works.
They gave us
for our first record, I want to say it was like $60,000 in total to make the first record.
Yeah.
And so we did it all ourselves. We were able to pay ourselves because we're all, you know, a band of producers. We did
a piece or?
No, $60,000 for the whole album.
Okay. That's pretty good, though.
But the deal was one record with an option of three, and it's their option.
Ooh.
Oh, that's not cool.
So they get to choose that they want to do two more additional records. Or, I'm sorry, option two. So two more additional records.
Same cost?
The cost increased probably $15,000 each record, but it gets even more.
But do you still only get the 15% for each record that goes on?
Yes. But hold on, it gets better.
Well, it can't.
No, it gets way worse.
It can't get worse.
So the way it works, and this is how the majority of the record label people are, the majority of the bands and artists that are signed, it works like this. And we didn't realize this at the time. We were like, "Oh, well, we get 15% and we collect, you know, we pay back that $60,000 off 100%. You know, we got to pay back that $60,000.
It wasn't your $60,000? You actually had to pay it back?
Well, yeah. We borrowed the $60,000 from them to make the record.
Oh, I thought you got paid that $60,000.
Well, they did pay it to us, but we had to use it to make the record.
It's an advance.
It's an advance.
Interesting way to say income, but okay.
Yeah. So we're like, "Oh, we got to pay back the $60,000. We pay back the $60,000 on 100%. So when we make back $60,000 for this record, then they'll be paid back, and then we start taking our 15%. You would think that makes sense, right? That's not how it works. The way it works is that you actually only collect on your 15%.
Yeah, of course. That's so what you're entitled to.
So we are – no. They collect – like
– they're $60,000.
We're trying to collect $60,000 only off 15%. Their 85% is set in stone. So we're only collecting
– yeah.
They're only collecting. So every time we make $100,000, it's really only $15,000.
And I see why
I understand that.
As a businessman, it makes sense to him. As creatives, I can see why
we didn't understand that.
Oh, fuck, you just said it anything.
Put the numbers up on the screen.
So the fact that they didn't notice that, like that, and that's something you would see a red flag, and they 100%. Don't. That's what they are. That's prey to them. Like they're preying on that.
Yeah,
I do believe that they're preyed upon. It's mm-hmm.
100%.
I don't want to say desperation because that's not fair.
Well, no, it is an emotion.
But you have to understand it is desperation because what they're doing, they're selling a dream.
Yes.
And I believe that the artists are so taken advantage of that
they are.
When I have these conversations, it's like shocking to me some of these.
But it's a very typical story.
Because what they're telling you is this is the only way you're going to make it.
They're putting
a hard sell on. Yeah. Because they're actually telling the truth.
Yep.
Like, only way that
they're
going to.
They're telling their truth. I would say it's
the only person that I can sit here and say that did not sign a deal, that held out and did it by themselves, was Cody Johnson. And then he still had to sign with Warner when he got to a point.
For touring reasons.
Look, and for touring reasons.
Success by
did
going
y'all ever
way,
but... consider using a private investor?
Yes, we talked about it. It got sketchy. Private investors definitely get sketchy. We talked about it. We looked into it. It never made sense. And for some reason, the money was always from overseas.
How do they do the contracts? If you guys don't mind, as somebody that doesn't.
A private investor? Yeah. I think that I've never done it. I do know people that have done it, but it's usually, I think they take some sort of like, it's a 50-50 until it's paid back. Something like that. Sometimes a 70-30.
Do they own the rights of the music? And
I think they do. I think they own 50% of music sales like for that specific thing.
With a private investor, they make their own rules.
Yeah, they do.
So it doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah.
If I sit here and say, okay, I'm going to give you $100,000. But I own your masters.
But they're only offering the money, right? So you're still responsible for marketing, getting stuff out.
Sometimes.
Yeah. They're,
it depends on the situation.
They're just responsible for money.
So, but also, too, a private investor, it doesn't make sense for most people from the point to where you're just getting the money. You don't have the backing of anything. You don't have the backing from the labels. You're just getting the money.
Here is one major thing that labels did for us, and that, like, we were definitely sold a dream. And you know, we were overpromised, very under delivered, especially by the label that we were signed to. In 1 month we were officially off. We completed our record cycles. Of course they took both options.
Yeah.
So we had to fulfill those and the money got more and more crazy every option. So it's like, I will probably never see a dime from our first three records.
That's what most say.
Yeah. Like I will never see
it. That's so crazy. How do you guys see that as the opportunity though?
Right? Well, what they did for us is it set up a lot of things. So going into now potentially a new record deal, whoever we're going to sign with, we have a foundation built. So we can get a better deal, a better split. We can argue that we want side projects involved. So if we want to go start side projects, we can't. That are independent.
How's the foundation defined? Like, how do you say, like, what is defined?
So what our label did for us was they didn't really do it. We found the radio guy, but we're like, hey, give this guy money. The way radio works is very weird, but it's basically like, give this guy money, give him a lot of money.
You did as their foundation?
Yeah. So we're like hey, you guys take your money, give it to this guy, have this guy go to the radio stations, start pitching our band, and build us
consultant.
Up and pretty much, and that's the only way to get played on radio, like, you know.
Yeah.
And you get played on national radio, you get played on Octane, which is very important.
So pay to play for the radio.
So pay to play, but the way to get in that, you have to be on a label.
So you probably don't know this. So I used to work back in radio, right?
Yeah.
So if you're in the top 20, right, that's not somebody was like, oh, these are the best 20 songs out there. No.
That's just pay to play.
No, there's a music consultant from the biggest stations out there are going to the syndicated radio stations. And that music consultant is saying, hey, these are the best 20 songs.
And
it's not being voted on by the people listening.
It has nothing to do with the people.
How could a song or album ever debut as number one? How could that be possible?
Yeah, so like if you go look on your iTunes or whatever, iTunes are by downloads, okay? It's almost rare that you'll see the number one to number 10 on iTunes are the same things that are the top 20 on radio.
Right. Yeah, you'll
like
never see it.
It doesn't work because it's people on one, it's music consultants on the other.
And that's why like shitty songs are number one on radio.
Yeah,
from the outside,
that's
you
how
guys
Beyonce
are
won.
Actually making the point I'm trying to make for me by saying it's an opportunity in the only...
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man.
After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
Way to do it, right?
Yeah.
Everything you guys just described is somebody with just money taking advantage, leveraging every step of the way.
Well, yes. Well,
in some sort of monopolistic way to put people out.
But well, you're probably looking at it from a perspective like, how can I do this but make it fair?
Yeah, not necessarily. I guess what the perspective is just pure numbers, pure contract. Yeah.
Well, but here's the issue. Numbers money isn't everything, because like, there needs to be talent behind the money, because labels work at a loss.
But they don't own the talent. You're the talent.
Well, that's true. They own the material created during the residency.
But also, they only own it because you sold it, right? So
we gave it to them contractually.
But also, the thing that you're missing with it, and this is the hard part, because you're so business minded, right? Mm-hmm. They're gatekeepers. They are the ones that make you. I'm not missing it. I just can't believe there's such
this
a
is
strong
really how it is.
Fuck you monopoly.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
This is your choices, okay. Right?
And it's actually better than it used to be.
Your choices are 15% of
what
you
And also look at it like this. So
no guarantees.
Also look at it like this. I don't know if you've met him with us before, but the guy that's always with me, who just got second on American Idol last year, Will Mosley, right?
Okay.
Will Mosley's amazing. Like, he's great. He's only 23 years old. He would be a star regardless. Like, I think all of our buddies can agree, he's just great. But he got an education and he got blown up because of American Idol. It would have took him a shitty deal.
10 years.
It would have took him 6 years, a shitty deal, 3 records that he didn't own, and 15% and owing out the ass for that 6 months on Idol. It's the equivalent. So you get some people, what he's had to do over the past 8 years, 10 years, he's paying for an education.
Pretty much.
He's paying for a foundation. And it sucks that he had to pay for the foundation, to where somebody like Will and other people, they got that exposure. You're paying for exposure with that 15%. Like, it sucks, but that's how a lot of people look at it.
The gatekeepers know that your emotions are what they are using against you.
No, I know what they're
preying on. Yeah, they're
it's easy to expose yourself now through these different social media.
There is a silver lining, though. Like I said, like, we're off our record deal now. Like, we're probably not going back to that record label because, you know, it wasn't convincing enough for us. But there is a foundation built. Like, we have all these friends at radio. And don't get me wrong, radio pays well. That's why songwriters exist in the first place.
Yeah.
XM pays pretty well. Terrestrial radio pays pretty well, which is like the AM, FM, or just FM, pretty much. It pays pretty well, especially if you're number one. It's like you're making millions a week. And so, like, that's why there's songwriters that exist and stuff like that. So we get paid off of that.
The band would make a million a week off.
No. We're not.
You got to have a number one, though. I mean,
yeah, you got to have
the gap between a number one and a number two is fucking.
It's like
huge.
It's almost double. It's almost double.
It's just like how much is getting radio play throughout.
Yeah,
syndication.
Yeah. Exactly, syndication. Correct. So there's like a massive gap with that, but it's like we still get a bit of money off of radio play because we've done pretty well on radio. But we've developed, you know, a relationship with these radio stations. That's very important, you know. Like, you know, we talked about Jelly Roll. Like, Jelly Roll, he knows the importance of having relationships with radio and, like, talking to them and being, like, honestly the best person you can, because it's super important. Because if everybody drops you, they're going to support you. They're going to hold you up.
That's absolutely right.
So they did that for us. Another thing is the real way an artist makes money, unless you're, like, independent or you just have a really good deal, is touring.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, on tour, for example, an artist can make, if you're touring frugal, which we're touring pretty frugal, you know, you can usually make around anywhere from like 15,000 all the way up to like 200,000 a night, if not more. Like, some of these big country artists are making easily a million a night.
Oh, yeah.
And is that at the same 15-85% split? Or
nope, that's all. That is all you. That goes. That's where the split of like legal, like your lawyer, your accountant, or what, a business manager, and your attorney, they all get paid like maybe a quarter of that's gone off rip. And then you pay your touring crew maybe another quarter. And then you have like travel expenses. But like
live music is where you have the most
payoff. But if you but if you're making like let's say we make $20,000 a night, right? If we're making $20,000 a night and we're paying out 75%, the 25% that's left over, I mean, like, you know, that's still $5,000 a night.
Yeah.
You know, split between four people. So it's like, you know, making at least $1,000 every night, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Like you do that for a month, like, you know, that's well over six figures income.
Yeah. So would you not have the opportunity to tour without the label? So
that's another thing. You don't
not
a label. A label. What labels do is they do these things called buy-ons. And artists can do this themselves, but it's really like it's so taboo in a way, because if an artist bought onto a show that is an independent artist, people go, "That's yucky." People are like, okay. That's gross. You're Leech. Fucking, you're a trust fund baby. Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You know,
that is true.
That's buying
it, it's so
and
weird.
That doesn't get talked about.
It's the same shit though. Like, you know, our label, you know, unbeknownst to us at times, but has probably paid for us to go on to a tour with a bigger band.
But when a label does it, it's like, you're scratching my back, I'm scratching yours.
It's behind the scenes.
Yeah, exactly. But if I was to do it to an artist, and I'm an artist, it's like, and you didn't ask me, that's like, oh, you bought your way on, that's icky.
Same thing other too is if you have a label that's got a big artist already and you get pulled on, you can be added to their tour.
That's true.
So now you have the exposure and you're playing.
You guys are so interesting. So it's like, the buying is bad, right? Because you're bought, but you're also most giving up everything to sign off the label where they're actually buying you and all your rights, and that way is okay.
But you also
but the other way.
But you got to think about it though. Like the contract's done.
Yeah, that's
like once
that's
the contract's over, I have these friends now. I have these connections. I know these people now.
It's the after.
We have established ourselves. You know, we can do, you know, in some cities we can do like $1,000 a night. Yeah. You know, and the way we look at it in the touring world is we go how much dollar per head, you know, everybody that comes in the venue, we go, okay, well, if we're doing $10 per head every night on merchandise and we're selling a 1,000-cap venue, we're selling $10,000 of merch every night plus our guarantee, which might be additional $10,000. So it's like,
and I think most artists anyway are thinking about the after anyway.
It's the only thing you have really.
It's once that contract's done, like, and you know you're getting screwed. There's not a single artist in Nashville.
Well, do you remember the conversation I had with that guy in the after hours part with you?
Yeah.
Where I kept asking, hey, you know, it's great. You've done all this thing, but, you know, we represent people trying for their first deal.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what kind of recommendations would you give an artist trying to sign their first deal?
You got it. You know you're going to get fucked.
Oh.
I mean, you know you're going to.
Here's a really funny thing. Okay, so I have a few friends that this has happened to now. Where they signed their first deal, and one of the people that I know was very successful with their first record that they released, and they signed like a big deal. It was like a maybe like $1.9 million deal, all advanced.
I wouldn't want to pay that shit back. not at that rate.
Nah,
I want your Range Rover.
It gets real fun because they signed like this deal, and the record did really well. But the thing is that they were just such a degenerate.
Yeah.
And like just in legal trouble, you know, a lot of domestic violence shit that they got dropped. Like their label's like, you know what? And this is a very underground type label. They're like, we don't want anything to do with this shit. Like you can keep doing that. We're winning over here. That label just took a $1.9 million loss. They gave that money to him.
Sounds like a solid plan.
That's what I'm saying. Like I know people that like have done that where like they've been part of these really big label deals and the label like really puts money behind them. And then the label just gets fucked because they just lost $2 million on this dude.
Well, it's just insurance. It's like an insurance actuary, right? Like your insurance costs because they group everybody together. They put a rate that makes sense for them to make money over the long run. So they didn't get fucked. It was within their confines of the math that makes sense.
So I'm getting fucked because of degenerate artists.
Like you're getting fucked because of them.
You're paying them back.
Yeah.
It happens.
And so like, you know, we made the joke for a long time. We're like, oh yeah, our label, oh, they can sign this shitty fucking band because we're paying for it. Great.
It's true.
It's fucking true though. Like sugarcoat all you want, but you're signing these shitty fucking bands just so because we're making you money.
They're bringing the money in.
Yeah. You're welcome to all those new bands.
And then they can open for you.
Yeah. Where are you playing tomorrow?
We are playing at the Masquerade.
Oh shit. I've never been there.
You want to go?
I got to go to back to Dublin tomorrow to get some stuff done in my truck.
Dublin?
But I think I'm coming back. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Ireland? I told him I didn't know if I was going to make it tomorrow. And I'm so weird about shit, right? Like, all I ever do is go to, like, country stuff. Like, that's what I do. But, like, I get a good vibe from you. I've liked hanging out with you. I think I'm going to come back tomorrow.
Dude,
like, it's
back.
Not that far. I'm just so fucking weird about people. Like, if you were to tell me about this guy and I actually haven't been around him, I'd be like, fuck this guy.
Oh, dude. Right,
but ever since I've been around him, I like the shit out of him. And you're cool.
Thank you, man. Appreciate
like,
it.
Just some of the stuff, like, we've talked about so far. Like, I think you're, like, and she played me some of the stuff earlier, and he's played me some of your music before. I think I could have a good time tomorrow night.
Oh, dude, for sure. I'm like, if you like people watching, it's the place, man.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about your crowd.
When you say, will be ones to watch.
Yeah. Tell me about your crowd. When you say people watching.
I don't want to be disrespectful to my fans.
Well, okay. They obviously have a style.
They have a style. Some of them do have tails.
Oh, no.
Which we're
going to get to see tails tomorrow.
Are they any tails or Audi tails?
I don't know, and I'm scared to ask.
I don't know that I believe that you're at this hotel by chance now.
Did you build this
fan
base?
The butt plug tails are coming up.
You're just there by chance.
Yeah, you know, I'm on the furry forums and the furry discords, and I'm just promoting my band a lot.
Can I buy a tail at merch?
That's good. That's really good. You know what? I'm going to add that to the list.
It's actually a really great idea.
Like, is your crowd like emo people that also like kind of the metal and the
yeah, you know, it's a bit of hodgepodge. Like you get the typical emo kids, you get the metalcore kids sometimes, which is just like, you know, the kids that want to come to your shows beat the fuck out of you. Sometimes, you know, at festivals you'll get skinheads, which is cool. I love seeing that, you know, being half Jewish, it's always fun. Then
you
get
a mosh pit?
Oh yeah,
I'll be moshing tomorrow.
I'm definitely not coming. I am not in this headspace to be at this place.
I will fucking
somebody.
You're sitting
no.
I would be like a monkey on Josh's back.
Not a fucking chance.
You're sitting here going, you're like, you know, I like your vibe. I fuck with you, and then it's like, dude, I get on stage. We're on demon time now.
They don't understand your music and your audience as much as maybe I do, right?
So yeah,
saying your emo is actually not correct, right? Like
lyrically,
you're combining
emo.
A lot of these genres in a way that is dope and awesome. And so I'd imagine you attract maybe a little bit from all of these crowds.
Yeah, you're going to get a lot of our fan base is females, which is awesome because, you know, the rule of thumb
is got the goth girls.
We got the goth.
Oh, I'm coming.
Yeah, we got the goth.
Never mind.
I'm not sacrificed by someone tomorrow.
Never fucking mind.
Yeah, Anthony wants to be stepped on by a goth mommy with her big boots. Oh, yeah.
Breast implants and tattoos.
Yeah, that's my wife right there.
Fuck yeah, it is.
I'm exactly where I want to be.
Shit. That sounds
so yeah, we got the goth mommies. We got the, you know, we got the cutesy goth girls. Like, you know, then you have the like I said, the skinheads, the people that want to beat people up. You know, it's just, it's a metal rock crowd. And then we have, you know, like the older people that are into like the active rock scene, like listening to radio, listening to Octane, like who they're like, they're in their 30s or 40s and they really enjoy heavy music or they enjoy relatively heavy music with catchy choruses, things like that.
Melodically, it does have a good throwback sound.
Thank you. Yeah.
And then lyrically, it's very emo.
He was telling me how deep a lot of your stuff is.
It is.
And I really dig that.
A little angry deep.
With everything that we're part of and write and listen to is obviously sad, deep shit or whatever. So I can appreciate the shout out of that.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Yeah. It's
Who writes?
Mm-hmm. Me, my guitar player, and my bass player.
What kind of mindset do y'all have to get? Like, how do y'all decide, like, okay, it's time to write?
Oh, God, I'm trying to figure that one out now. We're trying to write a fourth record, and it's tough to all be in the same mindset at the same time, but you kind of just got to work your way there and get there, or at least try to get there. Like,
Have y'all had trouble with not having a happy album? Like, what if everybody's happy at the time?
Yeah, then it'd be weird, yeah. I don't know. Like, right now, everyone's in a good headspace right now, which is weird, because every time I write a record, I love to just self-sabotage and destroy myself.
Oh, fuck yes. I cannot do anything unless I'm fucked up mentally.
Yeah, yeah. Like, best ideas come from that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm the fucking worst about that. If you want my best ideas, I have to be fucking in the trash can.
It's true.
Look, to me, it just sounds like you're blessed with more opportunities to grow.
Yeah, probably not.
There you go.
Nobody's successful. I hate that my fucking brain works that way, but yeah.
You well, start.
Nobody's successful without the faults, right, and the problems. That's where you actually learn the lessons and you move forward. It's paradoxical.
Well,
you can't have one without the other.
You might be faced with lessons. It don't mean you learn.
I pull from the depths of hell. And also,
successful people do.
There's weird things. Like, sometimes I'll write about, like, a theoretical thing that, like, could happen, could be the outcome of what I'm doing. And then it becomes the fucking outcome of what I'm doing. Like, it's like law of attraction. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you manifested it. Yes.
Negative or positive
and energy. It's horrible. I'm like, what is wrong with me?
I need to write.
Oh, God. Let's go down that butt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm fucking right here with you, dude. I couldn't say that shit no better.
Yeah. It's like, what the? It's like, I write about like some really sad shit. And I'm like, and so when I was practicing for this tour, because, you know, it's majority of the new record. And I'm like, practicing, running through songs, like, you know, just in my studio by myself. And I'm like, what in the sick, twisted fucking world was I going through?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I'm relearning my lyrics and shit. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me?
But it is good. It really is good.
Thank you. But yeah, you know, the good thing, though, is like at the time I view it as like that was my outlet for me. You see that a lot now. Like, a lot of the fans that come to the shows, you can tell that this song was their outlet for them, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet so.
Like, that's a really cool thing. It's like, I'm not going to say I'm not jaded, because you get jaded pretty fucking quickly in the music industry. But when you're playing on a show, when you're on stage and you're seeing the fans sing these lyrics back to you, it's like, I'm used to it now. But like back in the day when it would happen, it would like tear me up.
First time?
Yeah, we were playing like a barn in the middle of North Carolina, and there was people that were like singing the lyrics back to me, and I was like, what the fuck?
Which song was it?
It was a song called For You. It's like a really old song. It was on our first EP.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we used to be a little bit more poppy than we are now. But it was just crazy to witness that for the first time. And I was like, this is insane. And then, you know, as the years go, like I was definitely like tearing up on stage. But as the years go, I was like, you kind of numb yourself to it. Because I don't want to be fucking breaking down on stage or whatever.
They would love it if you did that.
They probably would. There's a song that we play right now. It's called Lie to Me. It's pretty fucked up of a song. That's one of those songs that I wrote. I was like, yeah, okay, so my relationship at home is going to absolute shit right now because I haven't been home for 2 years. No shit. And I was like, what if I wrote a song about if it all crumbled? And then I wrote the song, and then it all almost fucking crumbled.
That's the manifestation?
No, that one was fine. We figured that one. I'm married now. We're good. We're locked in. But, like, you know, I wrote that song, and I, like, listened. I was like, what the fuck? And we're playing it live now. So I'm like, and people are like, oh, my God, this is – they don't expect us to play it because it's a very sad, slow song. But, you know, it's one of those songs. But anyways, I'm going to get back to what I was saying is that having people sing your lyrics back to you, it still is the most important thing to me.
Yeah, that's every musician I do a show with. That's always the thing. But that's what you probably started doing music for in the first place.
Yeah.
It's not always about the money. It's not – you said it a while ago, but it's not. It's when they appreciate what you've done. And that's the moment that you know.
Yeah.
They appreciate your time, your effort, your art. And that's the only time you really know.
Yeah.
Is when they're singing and looking at you and screaming back at you.
It's the only thing I get. Like, and also it's really funny because in those moments, like, you know, making money is nice.
Yeah.
But I don't give a shit about it. I don't care about money.
Well, I tell all the artists that we work with. So I'm a person, I like classic country, right? Mm-hmm. And I like anybody that tries to stand out and do stuff different. I don't really care what genre it is or whatever. I just don't want you to be a carbon copy of somebody else. I like legacy over popularity. I don't like people that chase popularity. I like somebody that wants to be remembered in 10 years instead of being the next TikTok star. You know what I'm saying? Like, I that's important to me. And
it's honestly important to me too.
And when you find people that have that mindset, you really find the best art, dude. And that's the only way you get recognition back.
I totally agree. I mean, like, if you're not doing it for the passion, then the money will come.
Yeah.
You have to love what you're doing. Yeah. If you don't love what you're doing, then it's just the money will never come.
Well, and you also, too, got to realize that, like, the people that we look up to, the people we think are the best, and I always just use Chris Stapleton as an example. It took him 10 years, and Chris Stapleton is one of the best ever to do it. If it took 10 years for him to get in the spotlight and get acknowledgement, how long do you think it's going to take you?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's going to take everybody time.
You got to, like I said earlier, it's like about just staying consistent with it. And like, it's going to happen every single day that we're doing music, that we're doing this, we're doing a podcast, like we're making clips on the internet. Like, it's about, you're playing the fucking lottery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every single day. And it just takes one thing for
right
someone to grasp onto. And then someone goes, you know what? I like that. I'm going to share it. And then someone else goes, I'm going to share it. That's authentic. That's all you can be. You can be, you got to be just your authentic self. You have to do what you love. It's not about the money. Like, yes, getting fucked by the label and not being able to afford things is the worst. But, like, it could be way worse if I was getting fucked by the label and the fans hated us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, from the outside perspective, it's easy to look at that and go, this is bad. But, like, I get to do something that's really fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like,
well, to me, you said it great. Like, authenticity is what I think people actually respect, grow with, move with, right? So ultimately, yes. If you're authentic, no matter, some people may not be your people, right? But that's fine.
That's very true.
But the people in your crowd, they'll stay with you forever.
100%.
They'll buy your merchandise. They'll support you. Yeah. They'll do everything.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, not every show on this tour is sold out. You know, some promoters are like dragging their fucking feet. But what is sold out is our VIPs.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a big deal.
Yeah. You know, every night, and our VIPs aren't that expensive, but like every single night, you know, we have 50 people that show up, and we had to increase the number because the VIP sold out before the tickets sold out, which is, you don't really get that a lot. But so, you know, our VIPs sell out, and then we got 50 people every night that they come take a picture with us. And then we do a Q&A, and then we also do a seance with them, because that's all, our whole record theme is summoning spooky shit.
We're not gonna play music. We're gonna do a seance.
We're gonna do a seance. Everybody
that's cool as fuck, though.
Yeah.
I don't like shit like that, but I've never heard of an artist or a band doing
Ouija
that.
Board
shit.
Out
yeah, that's cool.
No.
Run one for us, so we.
Fuck no, not with me in here.
Out, I'm running all
right,
away.
I got the Ouija board right.
I will run my fat ass out of here.
I'd rather see that than the tank.
No. So there's people in this world that like don't give a shit about it. Like, I'm sure we're all fine with a Ouija board, right? But then you got people like him.
I mean, I'm not that scared of it, but I'm also not going to fucking do it.
No. I was raised in an evangelical school. No, demons scare me. Don't bring demons in my house.
When we were younger, some of us were moving. Like,
some of us were not.
I already got enough bad fucking luck.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
I was the one moving towards like murder.
Yeah. I would have one attached to me and I'd never be able to get rid of it.
Well, here's my thing. I don't necessarily think anything would happen, but if there's 1% the way my life's going right now, I'm just not fucking with it.
Just rather.
I'm just gonna. You know what?
Okay.
Not fucking with it.
All right, like, I gotta ask the question then.
Yeah.
Have you ever had anything weird happen to you?
All day, every goddamn day.
I do
believe in that shit.
You believe in that shit.
I do believe in
that. You're a man of faith.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's.
I believe in spiritual for
okay.
sure.
Okay. I believe in spirituality as well, but here's the thing. I have a friend who is very religious, great songwriter. He is convinced that when he writes melodies, that he is summoning evil.
Mm-mm.
When he writes melodies, Mm-mm. he's summoning evil.
Yes. Mm-mm. And he says that his faith protects him, but the reason he will never release his music ever is because he thinks that if he ever releases his music, he is releasing like the devil into the world.
I'm sorry, friend, but you need
to. Did
medication.
He do a lot of drugs when he was younger?
Well, to me, this is like the ultimate fear of putting yourself out there that you've created a reason not to.
That's actually
so
very
it's
legitimate.
It's actually something to say about how scared he is to have people experience.
I do think there's some validity to it. I think there's like fear of failing. But also, I go.
If it was really demons, he wouldn't create it.
I'm sitting here going, man, I'm trying to see fucking demons. I want to write melodies like that because he's a great songwriter. Like one of the best songwriters I know. I was like, I'm trying to write melodies like that, bro. Where the fuck? But I, you know, I'm not really religious.
That makes me want to hear shit, to be honest with you.
Dude,
I
mean, no.
I really want to hear it.
Well, it's probably super vulnerable.
I'll play you his shit, and you're gonna be like, oh no, he's summoning demons for sure.
Yeah. Well, just for anybody, for you to say that he's good, and then they have the story behind it. You're like, oh, there's something.
There's
some,
no.
Yeah, there's something
he,
to it.
He tells me, and I don't mean to put him on blast. He'll probably love them talking about it, but you know. I don't mean to talk about him like that, but I'm like, dude, you know what? Like, it made sense to me when he said it. I was like, I get where you're coming from. Like, I understand that. I do think it's that, like, deep down. But I do also, like, there's some validity to him going, I feel like I summon, like, Satan's work whenever I sing. He thinks that he is a conjurer in a sense.
And it could be both. It could be anything.
That's
he's getting inspiration from something, and he puts it into something that he loves.
You know what it reminds me of? There's a guy, and I hate that I don't remember his damn name. He's an old cat, old country songwriter. But he tells his story, and it's all over social media, and I wish I remember his damn name. But he swears that when he used to just snort powder all the time back in the 70s, that every time he would write a song, and it ended up being a great song, that Hank Sr. was in the room with him every single time helping him write it. Like, he swears up, and he says,
"This is why we don't do drugs, kids."
Some of us. And I'll talk about me.
I don't think that's the lesson.
No, but he's, yeah.
I think the lesson is to do drugs.
You're supposed to do more. Yeah, so Hank will write a song with you.
The lesson is how much we can accomplish if we feel supported by something we're even willing to create that's not real. Right, or
but that's what, but that's what it reminds me of.
Stop making logic of shit, man.
Why are you being so logical over there?
We just said yes, not no.
just say yes, kid. I think that's what it is. Like, for whatever reason, we have a way to self-doubt, feel bad, imposter syndrome, you know, no matter how much you grow, no matter how many things you try to overcome. And it's hard to be yourself because of the mask that you try to wear, the judgment from trying to be in a group that you think you need support from. So whatever it is, whatever you create to help you do that, I think is awesome. So we may say that's crazy, and it is a little crazy, but without that, that wouldn't have been created.
Well, right? It's not crazy if it works. That's the thing. Like, everything sounds crazy unless it works.
What's crazy is that people feel so unsupported that they have to create things like this in order to be themselves.
Well, that's what I was going to say, was when he makes that music, obviously he's genuinely being himself. But for some reason, he feels like, this is my opinion, he feels like he has to conform back to something else, which is why he doesn't want to release it.
Yeah, I think Catholic guilt's insane, so there's that too.
There is, that's a real thing.
Oh, yeah. I don't fuck with Catholics.
Yeah, yeah, he's Catholic. Yeah.
Oh, you should have just started off with that shit.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
You know, religion itself is awful, but possibly the message in God itself is good, right?
So, like, for sure.
Business behind religion.
There's a difference between relationship
awful
and religion.
Things ever created.
Yeah.
But
there is really some really good therapy behind that.
Yeah. Either way, I think it was. I thought it was cool. I'm gonna show you his music, and you guys might be like, "Oh, I get what I get what he's talking about."
I'm super.
Well, let's go listen to it. Before we get off here, though, tell them where they can find you all over social media. If you got any show dates besides for the next one coming up, tell them where they can where they're at and everything.
Yeah.
If they can buy tickets, you got a website and all that.
Just
blast your shit all over the place.
You guys can go to fameonfireband.com.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.